program, you're about to hear Bob's Slap Pound Fun Hours with parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church, the subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should pass no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Welcome, seekers, to what's going to be a very interesting episode of the Hour of Slack. Oh, yes, you heard me right. I'm Reverend Susie the Floozy, and this is Bob's Slack Time Funhouse. But tonight, seekers, we're going to go back to the roots of the Church of the Subgenius, at least as I know them, and the message of our Slack 150, among others. And by gobs, those were some shows back then, seekers. Back in the dark years before I did this show, before I'd even met Stang, when I was but a rogue glimmer in Bob's eye, I got strength from the words of Stang on the Hour of Slack, so like us all. And you know, seekers, I even cared enough to capture those words on audio cassettes, which I played over and over to try to imbue myself with that sense of mutant yeti self-confidence that I so badly needed. So many times I failed in that effort, sure, but there was that voice urging me on once again to assault the pink breach. Oh, these messages are still so valid that they must again taste the sweet airwaves and go where they are needed. So tonight, seekers, welcome to the Hour of Slack.
But I only looked at her. Yeti style.
You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to
the subgenius. Hour of Slack.
Dear friends, welcome to Hour of Slack, number 150. Yeah, we've done 150 of these shows now, and to celebrate, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to say a word, except on tape, a lot of that. But at the same time, this is going to be another one of those in introductory shows where you can tape this and play it to your friends and relatives, and they won't think you're as crazy as if you played them last week's show or next week's show. I get interviewed by people out of town and out of time if they're not out of town. So we're gonna play some old interview tapes and a lot of music, a lot of new subgenius music, Bob songs, and you'll find out just what this is all about, won't you? In the meantime, you can call for information. Call the Will of Dobbs. He's still here at 82.
Insert local number here.
This music in the background is Danny Elfman's score for Beetlejuice. My favorite movie music composer now, I think.
And now we go from the Supreme Court to a different form of court. This court you might call the Church of the Subgenius. Now you might ask yourself, what do you mean by Church of the Subgenius? Well, we sent our own Bill Cates out to find out, and this is what he learned.
Okay, we're here with the Reverend Ivan Stang.
who is the, well, what would you call yourself in relation to this church?
I am the sacred scribe of the Church of the Subgenius, a mere servant of our guru and saint of sales, J.R. Bob Dobbs. Praise his sweet name.
Now, for those of our listeners not familiar with just who the Church of the Subgenius and J.R. Bob Dobbs are, could you briefly give us a capsule description?
Well, the Church of the Subgenius is what you might call a disorganized religion, or you might say a non-organization for non-joiners, for people who wouldn't be caught dead joining anything. It is a church, but it's a church for sinners, disbelievers, or people who'll believe anything. Mutants, misfits, you know, your class clowns, your blasphemers, and talk show hosts.
And who is J.R. Bob Dobbs? Is that the guru?
Bob Dobbs is the... Technically, he's called the High Epopt. Actually, he's the very salesman of the gods. That man, if he is indeed a man, who has come to keep the conspiracy of the normals from buying your slack away from you. You see, preachers have to do more than just lay people. And Bob Dobbs, I think, is here to bring slack to the slackless. And if you, friends, if you don't know what slack is, then it's probably too late. You should probably just shut your radio off because you're going to find out how much you've been missing.
Okay, what is slack?
Well, if you have to ask, you'll never know. As the Hell's Angels once put it, those who know don't say and those who say don't know, which leads me to wonder why they said it, actually. Slack is, well, to compare it to happiness. Slack makes happiness feel like having your eyes gouged out with a carrot peeler. It makes the nirvana of the Buddha feel like being buried up to your neck in sand, waiting for the ants to come and eat your face away.
Or maybe a lawnmower to come mow your head off, perhaps.
Sure, sure. You know, I've got the recipe for a grandma face sandwich if you ever need it. What we're doing, to get serious here, what we're essentially doing is the Church of the Subgenius is trying to tempt sinners away from the devil. Now, what they do, where they go after that is up to them. But Bob Dobbs is a mighty, mighty man, or God. We're not sure which, and it doesn't really matter. And he operates out of his skyscraper headquarters in Dallas, Texas, where I work, in the Bible Belt. And what we're essentially doing through our magazines, our radio shows, the tapes we sell, and our new videotape, we're trying to unbuckle the Bible Belt and get them to sort of drop their pants and make them face their own private desires. So, friends, if you could just open your heart and bend over, because Bob's coming. He's coming. And he comes not to forgive your sins. We leave that to better connected deities. Bob Dobbs comes and comes again and again to justify your sins, my friends, to excuse your sins, to offer you that great excuse that I know you need, my brothers and sisters.
How can you tell?
Oh, there's no way to tell, because Bob's coming. He's sneaking up on you. Can't you hear him? Can't you feel him? One, two, Bob's coming for you.
Bobby's here.
Jehovah, one is Santa, Messiah. He's the one who grins and smokes the pipe. For in a world of darkness, danger, and despair, we can go on smiling because we know that Bob Dobbs is always there. And I know that Bob's on my side. I know it as sure as I'm born. He will make the proper deal with the axe's horn. Then we'll come to meet him, then we'll greet him and rule forevermore. Bob is my one true savior. You can't keep all of the rest. Looking at his smiling face, always helps me when I'm depressed. For the pinks, I sure feel sorry. For the Marnie, they'll fly with all the rest. Bob has got no real brain to speak of, though his luck has seen him through the lag. For all the geniuses led us down the wrong track. We know a subgenius won't turn around and stab us in the back. The con thinks they have us suckered, but I know that that is a lie. They're due for a big surprise from demons from the sky. Makes me so glad I wised up, got it sized up. Hell, I'm a lucky guy. Bob brought me slack, and that's lots more than I ever got from the con. Though I know it's only because of all those pills he's on. Heck, I know he ain't too clever, but whatever he says, I'll do or die.
Like, this is totally overpowering thing where you know exactly what to do, no matter how totally insane it seems at the time.
There's a shining golden city where the robots live, beneath the central sun's eternal glare. And when the saucers come from space to massacre the human race, I know that we'll find peace and safety there.
Through the holes in the poles we will flee, sailing down the lovely Central Sea, leaving torture, death, and madness for a land of joy and gladness. Within the hollow earth we will be free.
In atomic-powered go-karts we will roam the land while the aliens devour human slaves. They'll squirm beneath the master's boot or roam in packs in search of loot while we will laugh to think that we were saved.
Through the holes in the poles we will flee, sailing down to the lovely Central Sea, leaving torture, death, and madness for a land of joy and gladness. Within the hollow earth we will be free.
We'll ride in flying submarines through air and through the sea while the aliens destroy the works of man. When they leave our blasted world, at last we'll rise again without a past to implement our splendid master plan.
Through the holes in the poles we will flee,
everybody,
sailing down to the lovely Central Sea, leaving hopes of death and madness for a land of joy and gladness. Within the hollow earth we will be free.
Within the hollow earth we will be free.
Oh, yes, dear friends. Go ahead, try to change channels. You can't do it, can ya? Onan Canobite in the background says you can't. And those last two songs you heard were, the first one was by Reverend Orton Nenslow up in Boston. Praise Reverend Nenslow. No, actually, the first one was by Ahmed Fishmonger. The second one was by Orton Nenslow. The very last thing you heard was Orton. Ahmed Fishmonger there at the beginning doing, Bob is my one true savior. And isn't it true? I'm going to go back to, let's see here. This is, that radio show was Bleepo Abernathy pretending he didn't know me, doing an interview on K-Rock, K-R-X-S, I think it is, in New York. The biggest station in New York City. How about that, huh? And this was prime time. This is how we take advantage of you, the listener. Thank you.
You need my brothers and sisters.
How can you tell if you are a subgenius?
Well, the easiest way to tell is by sending a $20 into the Church of the Subgenius Sacred Post Office Box for membership. The other way to tell would be if you're the kind of person who hates most normals. We're looking for people who love to hate, you might say. Although most of us have to maintain the illusion that we ourselves are normal. We're out to teach people how to exploit their abnormality, to quit hiding it, and to actually learn how to make money off of it. The money is not exactly the same as slack, but slack tends to come a little easier with money.
Now, I remember hearing somewhere that the Church of the Subgenius is actually the only church that admits it's in it for the money in fact, pays its taxes without complaining.
Right. We are the world's first industrial church. Bob does not believe that the public should have to subsidize religions they may not happen to believe in, besides which I doubt seriously if the IRS would ever let us get away with claiming tax-exempt status. But those worldly things are not important here. We're discussing the fact that people should get out there and buy that Simon & Schuster book of the subgenius. Yes, my friends,
whoops.
The book of the subgenius companion volume,
no,
High Weirdness by Mail.
Now, what
no, you're not supposed to do that. You can't do that. Don't go out there and do such a thing. We're supposed to get to that part. But
would you sing the neighbor song with me now?
Lying in rice spill with a Tommy gun in hand. The nasty Yankees who have come or to take our land. Our costume basic back up north, it's all the rage. But all that olive green that wouldn't make the fashion page.
Yo, hee-ho. Yo, hee-ho. And if all army are advisors, Lake Worm got the early risers.
They bomb bombs and even on. I'm just singing in the rain. Bungee sticks and bamboo splinters work much better making pain. Give me lots of death and torture, give me lots of gore. We may have lost the battle, but we haven't lost the war.
I am not a man of violence. I don't want to use my pistol. We can settle this, we will be strong.
Don't you think that we should talk and try to work it out? Promoting girls on hip. I like their smiling faces, and male girls are also sexy tribute to the races. I trade them all today, and give up all my money, if I could just be home with my Vietnam honey.
Odie and his crew took a ram into you, and set up ship to go to Hades. Odie poured a drink offering for all souls, and prayed to the empty shells of the dead, 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 dead.
Hey there, that's a sporty jacket, where'd you get that tie? Are those just real alligator? Do you like apple pie? So this is your democracy, it's very, very pretty. But I think I'll be going now, back to Saigon City.
Where'd you put my friend today? Am I dead or am I gay? Where'd you put my friend, you fool? Am I dead or am I cruel?
In a rice field with a Tommy gun in hand. Shoot the nasty Yankees who have come to take our land. Our costume basic black up north, it's all the rage. While that olive green drab wouldn't make the fashion page.
Yo, hee-ho. Yo, hee-ho. And if all army of advisors, Lake Worm got the early advisors.
They bomb bombs and Agent Orange. I'm just singing in the rain. Bungee sticks and bamboo splinters work much better making pain. So give me lots of death and torture. Give me lots of gore. We may have lost the battle, but we haven't lost the war. B-5-0-4, pump for you to go destroy. Be you alive or be you dead, at least we tried to stop the rent. Man is fuck consuming good and taking over the neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be my neighbor? Promoting girls are hip, I really like their smiling faces. And Leos girls are oh so sexy, tribute to the races. I trade them all today and I would give up all my money if I could just be home now with my Vietnam honey. Where'd you put my brain today? Am I dead or am I gay? Where'd you put my brain last night? Am I black or am I white? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be my neighbor? You're hip, so am I. We both eat ham and Swiss on rye.
Oh, thanks to Janine, Reverend Janine C. for that one there. That was the neighbor song by the Bloody Mannequin Orchestra. I don't know where she finds these things.
Think you are losing your mind.
The Soap Genius Hour of Swatch. Here's your host, Reverend Ivan Stang.
The sexiest man on earth.
A young Adonis who's irresistible to women.
I can't wait a moment longer. I've got to have sex with you.
The facilities are now enormous. This is where the young composer feeds a fragment of it into several tape recorders and gradually...
No, you'll kill me. No.
And in that moment, you find out what sex really is. And you thought you knew.
Yeah, I can deliver more mail with one thrust of my pelvis than the damn U.S. Federal Express, Pony Express, U.S. Postal System have been able to deliver in this whole galaxy for the damn past 15 years. I wrote the Bible. Damn, was a damn boy that posed for the... that filled in for the Washington Monument while they was making repairs. Oh, yes, it was the damn boy that the U.S. government had to expel from that country, put him in a damn rocket ship, put him, lost him into outer space, his damn boy, yeah, because the Russian early warning system thought it was a nuclear attack every time he shot off.
Thank you very much.
Do you consider yourself a disciplined guy? Do you get up every day and work?
Oh, I try to get up every day.
Don't you find that there's a certain mad beauty in an orthodoxy?
Despite the radiation hazard and the state's animal husbandry restrictions, thousands are tuning into the Subgenius Hour of Slack. Risking your mental health was never so much fun. Follow your hellish host, the unspeakable Reverend Ivan Stang, as he sneezes the lake of fire on the rib of a dead televangelist in his quest to unbuckle the Bible belt with misplaced audio mysticism guaranteed to ruin your children just like it's already ruined his own. You can't just turn off your radio either. The show will play through your fillings. It's the inescapable word of Bob, mounted on the tip of a psychic cruise missile like gum on a bedpost and aimed at your exposed skull. The subgenius hour of slack. I'd rather throw a bucket of eggs into a wind tunnel than miss it. Praise Bob.
Yes, dear friends. Yes. And you know I owe it all to Bob. Bob Dobbs, my friend, brought a change into my heart and my mind, and he gave me a new lease on life. Now I want you to know I ain't a preacher because I want to be. I was called to this ministry by a God that told me to tell people to stop believing in it and to get on with getting them some slack. The true, rip-snorting, cosmic oozing and squirting, having your cake and eating the hell out of it too, real slack. There's so much slack, dear friends, that the elder gods themselves keep trying to get into your brain because they want a piece of it. Yes, that's the kind of slack you're supposed to be having. Too much is always better than not enough. And I am inspired, dear friends. I am divinely inspired. Now, I hope you don't mind if I let my hair down just a bit for this particular broadcast, because I'm tired of this wishy-washy preaching. Now, I've been guilty of it myself, but no more. I am here to pound the pulpit until it is reduced to splinters, if that's what it takes to make you understand what's at stake here. To make you feel just one iota of the slack that I have been given to feel by the grace of the friction interface of hot cosmic love between Bob and Connie. To make you feel one billionth of the fiery passion that should be coming with every breath. Once you really start taking for yourself that slack, which is rightfully yours, which is your inheritance, which is your destiny under Dobbs. I want you people to learn to be able to bask in the glorious, all-suffusing light of the love of J.R. Bob Dobson. And I want your blood to boil with equally passionate hatred. Hatred for the hideously bland non-entities, the shadow people and pink boys, the bland food tubes that live around us and are trying to make us like them. The others, but because they fear the slack, they haven't glimpsed the sheer lust for slack that draws us forward, that keeps us off our butts and on our mental feet plans, that drives us straight ahead, punching our ways through their mundane and tedious crap, hacking away at that jungle of mealy-mouthed boredom and half-assed minor comforts as if with a machete. Oh, hell yeah! Yeah, our arms might get tired, but by the sweet name of Bob, we shall keep a-hacking, keep dragging ourselves ahead across that field of broken glass until we get our hands on that cosmic hamburger of fulfilled desires. Until our dreams come true, dear friends. Till our dreams come true. And they can come true if you will just not give up. If you will just stop your crazy, fretful, paranoid running around and just sit down and remember what it is that you're here to do. But get a grasp on that and then do it. And stop letting them walk all over you and you'll be doing just what you want. Get your heart's desire. It's no problem. No problem, dear friend. If you can just recognize what your true heart's desire is, it may be something they don't even have a word for in this culture. But the real you knows what it wants. But it's up to the you that thinks and acts to shut up for a while and go deep down enough to know what the real you really wants. And what is this real you? It is the Yeti you, my friend, the Yeti you. It is the string of consciousness that has kept being reborn lifetime after lifetime, every time different, every time a little further from the original you that was born into a Yeti body, an 8-foot-tall perfect being, untainted, friend, by human genes in fabled Atlantis 80 million years ago. It is your Yeti self that must be reawakened. That has talents, my friends, talents that we don't even have names for. It bears templates for circuits of your nervous system that are just sitting there waiting to be pried open. And when you let that primal Yeti self come through, once that happens, you will realize exactly what really counts and where the path to true slack is leading for you. You will instinctively recognize the gusto, and you will grab for it, because you only go around once at a time. So you better live this life as if it's going to be your last. And you can find your proof of a before life, my friend. You can. Any true son or daughter of the Yeti can do it. Of course, you might have to pay some dues. You might have to force yourself to do some gutsy things in order to obliterate the conspiracy barricades that stand in your way and fence in your very mind. You may, my friend, have to carve away a few pieces of yourself, your old self, to get rid of the stupid superstition and fear-based hang-ups that the drab, shuffling normals use to try to keep you from rising above them. Oh, they're jealous, friends. God almighty, how they hate and fear the traces of Yeti behavior that occasionally come bubbling up from you in the workplace or the rumpus room or the bedroom. Oh, you can use their hate and fear, my friends. Turn it around. Use it to pump yourself up with mutant self-confidence and then flaunt your slack in their pathetic, slack-jawed, uncomprehending, bitter faces. You can couldn't flag your weirdness right there in public. And if they can't take a joke, well, I think you know just what to do, don't you? But just make sure that you do it to them before they do it to you. Or worse, and ironically more common, before they get you to do it to yourself. Because they will. Oh, yeah, they will. Hey, that's all they're interested in, friends. Not getting slack. Getting you. We'll be back to this subject after this. A message from Mark Mylar. Everything You Know Is Wrong by Mark Mylar. Nice stuff, dear friends. Continue to go deeper. Deeper, my friends.
Hello, seekers. Elho Huey here with you. Here's a little subgenius parable that will give you some idea of the true nature of slack and how to stop concentrating on it so hard that it keeps slipping away from you like Tracy Lords in a vat of olive oil. Once upon a time, four weary travelers came to the gates of a city hoping to find lodging for the night. However, since it was after hours, the gates were locked tight. The one who was drunk on tree frog beer and jumping Jesus banana wine said, "Let's just bash the damn thing down."
The one who was on downers didn't say anything since he had just passed out face down in the middle of the road. The one who was high on grass said, let's just sit by this tree and nod off till they open up in the morning. The subgenius, who was both legally high on frog and illicitly tripping on LSD, said, let's just float through the keyhole, but ended up going around back to the kitchen door, which was always open anyway, thereby avoiding the toll charge at the front gate. And the moral of the story? Bob would have floated through the keyhole.
Angel dust. It stays on your mind, then destroys it. Then your history.
Now, Mrs. Robinson and I took the local Subgenius Clinch Sunday School class on a field trip last Sunday to one of these normal neighborhoods, and let me tell you, it's every bit as bad as the pamphlet makes it out, okay? Now, I'm not prejudiced or anything like that. A lot of my best friends are normals. I just think as long as they know their place. Well, they reproduce like animals. We're thinking about moving soon. Maybe even off planet. The cattle, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what is the next theory of the Church of the Subgenius I'm going to discuss tonight?
Next theory is always more hate. Hater, I love it. Don't you? We're looking for people who love to hate, you know? That was Janer Hypercletes live at the New Orleans World Science Fiction Convention about a month ago. Prior to that, you heard a couple of clips from the KPFA Subgenius show in Berkeley. Puzzling Evidence, Hal Robbins, Philo Drummond in this case, Mobius Rex, and Gary Gabrokefriend. Oh, yes. And, well, you know, I guess I ought to go back to the talk shows, the talk show radio things, so that I can then make a smooth transition to the ironic, pardon me, Diet Coke there, the ironic, and, oh, Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo.
Devo, okay.
Yeah, we could name some rock stars that are in town right now, but we're just not too sure anymore.
Okay. Gee, Gordon, it's clear to me, Reverend Stang, you know, when you say Reverend Stang and when you say Pastor Naked, that conjures up, you know, we all have, I think, an idea of what that is. Now, Gee, Gordon, you need to clue me in as to what role you play in the church.
Well, officially, I am the mercenary of mercy, and I'm sort of a hitman for Bob. And
we say this to ensure disbelief.
Yes. And we don't mind admitting it, because just like the CIA and everything else in the conspiracy, if you admit it, everybody doesn't believe it and thinks it's a big joke. But there are certain things that require work of a quasi-legal nature that Bob has to have done for him.
As an example.
Well, certain people have to be removed in certain places. Security has to be maintained in other places. So, computer files have to be emptied.
Sometimes we have to change their minds,
yes,
so to speak.
So you have your coat on for what reason now? So your weapons don't show?
No, actually, it's cold in this studio, so I thought that normally, yes. Normally, but we... This being Dallas, people frown on you carrying guns. Malaysia,
unless
it's no problem.
Unless you've got presidents in the sights, then you're okay. Then you're
okay. Reverend Naked, Pastor Naked, forgive me. Tell me what you think the appeal of this church is. I mean, since you say it's different from what we know as
the
church.
I think just like any cult, when you're starting out, you have to promise something for free. You know, free money, free love, you know, something for nothing. And we do that more than I think other cults are right now.
In what way?
Just by the doctrine of total slack and the approach to slack. You know, what is slack? A lot of men ask you, well, it's getting money for not working. And
where does this money come from?
From Bob. Money from Bob, friends. Money, and someday money will rain from the flying saucers that shall come on that great day, X Day, July 5th, 1998, at 7 a.m., and all the subgeniuses will be ruptured up into the pleasure dimension for eternity, or depending on how much money they've spent on the church.
I guess I've talked enough. Thanks so much, Bob, for being there for us.
Listen, man, there's a spiritual war right now going on for your soul.
Don't you see my point?
No. Oh, yes, we all love each other.
Ah, yes, dear friend, that's what I want to tell you tonight. I want to know when and where I can expect your love offering. Because the bigger your love offering is, the bigger my love gets for you, dear friends. And the more love I spew out there for you, and Bob spewing his love, and we're both spewing together because we got more love inside us than we can hardly hold on to. It's more than enough for one man to get a grip on, a big old grip on himself. Ah, yes, dear friends. Ha ha! I want to tell you tonight that it just really touches my heart.
Through subversive measures, Devo passes on the word of Bob by, if you take a look at our last album cover, his name's been airbrushed into the rubber hairlines of each of the band members, right next to the word sex.
Do Bob and sex go hand in hand?
Well, Bob is a kind of total all-consuming sex. The only slack that I get anymore is worshiping at the holy temple of the Yoni.
Tell us about that.
What's that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure your audience knows what the holy temple of the Yoni is.
Well, can you tell us?
Well, I almost did not.
It's the female delta.
The Reverend Smith! It's the young Reverend Smith who's been so instrumental here at the church in organizing those spread leg suppers.
Well, see, now this is the thing is.
This is why I have hesitated in asking for more.
I am
desperate.
Blessing. I'm too.
We are in desperate need of the following.
Desperate. We need food for these little Bible worms. They need more
from
juices to spread the seed,
English
or there
Bible
will be no medium for the seed than to send in.
For God, my friend, God is a sex god. That is sex, an all-encompassing sex that is the very inness and surroundingness of the union of both the hemum and the yoni, and not just heterosex, all sex. God does not choose to fornicate. God, as the tool of Wotan, has to fornicate. And not just with women, not just with men, with animals, with plants, from the faithful oak tree in his backyard, to the mighty whales of the briny deep, as the very earth itself.
That was fun.
It is a time of flagrant immorality. A time when the old standards are crumbled as if hit by history's greatest tidal wave of filth and perversion and sexual promiscuity, undreamed of even 5 years ago. America's theater marquees scream every kind of degeneracy known to man, from witchcraft and occultism to devil worship and necrophilia. Raw sex is peddled in every drugstore, while the nation's mailmen stagger under a burden of filth that pours off the press and into America's homes. Nothing is sacred, and the profane is sold in the open marketplaces of our cities, while God is mocked, and the churches themselves stage dances for sex perverts, and nude statues are substituted for the Stations of the Cross.
Praise Bob. Ah, yes, dear friend. I figure everybody's gonna... You're gonna have a real good time with this show tonight, friends. We've got a... Oh, well. Well, let me put it this way. You can use sex and ephrob to regain your connection to your Yeti roots. You can use sex to fight the conspiracy. And the special thing about that... Oh, hold on just a second, friends. I think I'm getting a message. They don't want me to do this one, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway, dear friends. Yeah? Right. Okay. As I was saying, you can use sex to fight the conspiracy, but in ways that they can't stop you from, because it all happens in your head. You should, my friends, do the hell out of everything. For instance, when you have sex, you shouldn't be just lounging around like there was some kind of cocktail music playing. I mean, unless it's the second or third time through, I guess. You ought to be playing each other the way Jimi Hendrix plays his guitar. See, I love forcing my Hendrix fixation down everybody's throats. I really do. And I'm gonna be playing a piece of true classic Subgenius music. But it's also going to be part of a little live radio listener experiment. You're going to love this. But first, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we've been told recently by Bob in the course of our research for the new book. What we've been told by Bob about Yeti original sex. Now, in the days of Atlantis, in those fabled days, the men and women of old, Yetis and he Yetis, I might say, she-men and shaman. At first, they would stand on one another's feet. That may sound strange, but that was the beginning. They would embrace, and then they would kiss. I guess you could call it kissing. It'd be with such total abandon and unimpeded urge that their skins would actually join, kind of be pushed together so hard that it would become one skin, and then their hearts would start beating in sync, sort of at exactly the same time, and they'd push together, pushing closer and closer, until their hearts started mushing through the rib cage and would merge together and beat together as one huge heart. And they'd keep pushing until they became one being. I mean, their bones all mixed together with all their meat. One being that's constantly orgasmically changing shapes, sharing lungs, breathing into with each other's lungs, and then moaning simultaneously to build up this wild sympathetic vibration so that the whole mouth area becomes like a powerful electric vibrator, then bellowing and finally screaming back and forth into each other at the top of their lungs as it builds into a totally alien ritual of mindless urge that bridges the dimensional gateway and lets in the elder gods, who are attracted to any mortals who are having more fun than they are, until these Yetis, you might say, are tongue-kissing with Valis. It gets to the point that they're actually blowing their whole lungs inside out into each other's lungs and vice versa, like balloons going back and forth. And then they'll hum each other's body parts, vibrations that build geometrically once the response vibrations
start, kind of a sound massage. And that's just, you ought to see, if you like that, you ought to hear about a big Yeti hug. And you may say, now, if that was a little Yeti hug, then what the hell happens when they, you know. And when you see, friends, the elder gods hunger for human ecstasy. It's their only gateway to this world. It's the catalyst. It's the way they prefer to manifest, riding you, one might say, at the moment of squirt or ooze. But it has to be the ultimate ecstasy possible. Therefore, to break through, an elder god must use two subgeniuses having sex. Now, I can't read the rest of this part on the radio, dear friends, but let's just say that, okay, well, here's a helpful hint. If you happen to be pestered by discorporate entities trying to possess you when you're trying to possess you and your partner during sex, this is an old Dobbs household aphorism. The elder gods can't get in if you turn the Hendrix music off. Now, speaking of which, I had a vision. I had a vision while watching a videotape of an old Jimi Hendrix concert. Now, I wasn't on drugs. Don't get the wrong idea here. Now, just hear me out. I'm convinced now that young James Marshall Hendrix was an unconscious agent of the elder gods, helping to teach us how to pry open that unnameable circuit in our brains to illustrate in a not-so-roundabout way, through music, what slack through sex hurt is. Sex hurt, dear friends. What it's supposed to be like. Once again, I wasn't on drugs. But it's funny, you know, this woman I know saw a movie of Hendrix and said afterwards, you know, that's funny, but for some reason now all I can think about is sex. Well, duh. I mean, Jimi Hendrix's stage persona was always what you would call overtly sexual, but above and beyond that. Now, I was watching this film of this, the Berkeley concert. It's on a tape you can rent called Jimmy Plays Berkeley. And in the very end, while he was playing Voodoo Child, I finally saw in the spirit, dear friends, for the first time, just what Jimi Hendrix was really doing. And maybe it was just a combination of camera angles and the fact that it was the most energetic performance I'd ever seen of a particularly aggressive, sexual sort of song. But I realized he's having intercourse with the audience. And seriously, it was watching this, it was as if the audience as a whole was this receptive sex partner, and he was bringing them to orgasm with sound and body language. And it was a very intense thing to watch. The girls up front were just going nuts. And somewhere there's some gray-haired old pudgy hippie moms who remember that moment.
Some of the most obvious idols of hate. But what about some of the less apparent? What about the liberals, you might ask? Does the subgenius also hate the liberals? Friends, we hate anyone who doesn't try to completely and utterly destroy us. Now you might ask, what about what's left? What we sometimes half jokingly refer to as the cattle. Well, contrary to popular belief, the cattle aren't entirely useless. They shall have several uses after 1998. They can be used as a cheap source of labor. They can be taxed, kept in the home as pets. Or, upon a whim, they might be unleashed and, well, hunted for sport. Can I get a witness? You know, I went over to my friend Rick Maverick's house the other day, and
And I was feeling kind of down in the dumps. I was kind of depressed that day. And he took me out in his backyard, and he showed me something that just kind of raised my spirits. And it was just kind of neat that he could do something like that. It just kind of filled me with a sense of warmth. He out in his backyard, he had just spelled out, "Have a nice day," in the skulls of normals he had decapitated. And I just said, that's neat. That's just kind of neat.
night, seekers.